Saeta?
Aye.
Soto? Mayor Franklin? Anita Thompson, Kenny Rexler. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, Chapter 25, Characteristics of King Puranjana, Text 57 to 61. Vachit so so chit tim jayam anu so chati dinavat anu hirishati krishantyam muditam anu modate vachit cha so chat tam jayam Anu so chitti dinabhat
Anu so chitti dinabhat
Anu vishyati krishantam
Anu vishyati krishantam
Uditam anu modate
Uditam anu modate
Vachitsha shochatim jayam
Vachitsha shochatim
Anu so chitti dinabhat
Anu so chitti dinabhat
Anu vishyati krishantam Vachit. At that time, Vachit. Cha. Sometimes also. So Chatin. When she was lamenting. Jayam. His wife. Anu. following her, Shochati. He was also lamenting. Dina Vat, like a poor man. Anu, following her. Krishati, he used to enjoy. Krishantyam, while he was feeling enjoyment. Muditam, when she was satisfied. Anu, following her. Madate, he felt satisfaction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhai Saranadavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. When the Queen drank liquor, King Paranjana also engaged in drinking. And when the Queen dined, he also used to dine with her. And when she chewed, King Paranjan used to chew along with her. When the Queen sang, he also sang. Similarly, when the Queen cried, he also cried. And when the Queen laughed, he also laughed. When the Queen talked loosely, he also talked loosely. And when the Queen walked, the King walked behind her. When the Queen would stand still, the King would also stand still. And when the Queen would lie down on the bed, he would also follow her and lie down with her. When the Queen sat, he would also sit. And when the Queen heard something, he would follow her to hear the same thing. When the Queen saw something, the King would also look at it. And when the Queen smelled something, the King would follow her to smell the same thing. When the Queen touched something, the King would also touch it. And when the dear Queen was lamenting, the poor King also had to follow her in her lamentation. In the same way, when the Queen felt enjoyment, he also enjoyed. And when the Queen was satisfied, the King also felt satisfaction. Purport. The mind is the place where the self is situated, and the mind is conducted by the intelligence. The living entity situated within the heart follows the intelligence. The intelligence is herein depicted as the Queen, and the soul, under mental control, follows the material intelligence just as the King follows his wife. The conclusion is that material intelligence is the cause of bondage for the living entity. The point is that one has to take to spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. In the life of Maharaj Ambarish, we find that the great Maharaj first engaged his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, his intelligence became purified. Maharaj Ambarish also used his other senses in the service of the Lord. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity in the temple, nicely decorated with flowers. He engaged his senses of smell by smelling the flowers, and he engaged his legs by walking to the temple. His hands were engaged in cleansing the temple, and his ears were engaged in hearing about Krishna. His tongue was engaged in two ways, in speaking about Krishna and in tasting prasad offered to the deity. Materialistic persons who are under the full control of material intelligence cannot perform all these activities. Thus, consciously or unconsciously, they become entangled by the dictations of material intelligence. This fact is summarized in the following verse. Om Agyan Smirandasya Janan Janan Shalakaya Chakshura Militan Jina Tashmaya Shri Girvi Nuna Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we see the activities of King Pranjana. How his senses are simply being led by the queen. Whatever she is doing, he is following. Completely captivated. Mesmerized. Everything she does, he has to do. He has to follow in every step. So, this is samadhi, actually. He's in perfect samadhi here. This is the goal of the karmas, right? You become so absorbed, you're so... This is what they call love, is it? When you're that much totally involved, that's real love. And it's a perfection for karmas. And actually, they don't care for anything else. And they don't care who knows it. They just don't care anymore because they got something which they call their love it's superior than anything else. So even people laugh at them, you know, they're acting so obviously, but they don't care because it's in love. It's the greatest thing for them. There's nothing more. So this is how the whole world is bound up by this illusory energy of the Lord. So powerful. We had one king of England. I think his name is Edward. King Edward. And emperor. Britain was building up its empire then. It was becoming a great empire. Somehow or another, he fell in love with a common woman. That means a woman who wasn't with royalty. She didn't have royal blood. So his minister said, you can't marry her. Because she's not, you have to marry a royal stock to keep the royal blood in the family. And he was so captivated, they said that if you marry her, you have to step down from being a king. And you can't be the king, everything is lost, the kingdom, everything. So what did he do? He chose a woman. For the kingdom, an empire actually. He regretted it later, but at the time he was so infatuated that he gave his whole kingdom, he gave up his whole empire to be simply captivated by a woman. In the story of Ramchandra Kaviraj, it was his marriage day. So he's been taken on a nice palanquin, and Chennai was there, and the band was there, and big procession. This is at Jajigram, on the way to Kathuwar, is the place where Srinivasacharya Narottam used to stay there. So Narottam and Srinivasa were sitting there under a tree, and then they heard the band coming in. They saw Ramchandra Kaviraj carry it and everything. So Narottam said, this Ramchandra Kaviraj, such a great Brahmana, so pure, fully controlled his senses, knows the Shastra like anything, such good qualities, such good manners. If only he was a devotee, he would be first class. So Srinivasa said, okay, I'll go and preach. So then they come past and Ramchandra, oh, sadhus are here, let me get down from the palanquin. So he got down from the palanquin and he paid his obeisances. He knew all the behavior perfectly. So Srinivasacharya said to him, he said, you know, a man, he works hard, whole day and night sometimes also, just to get some money. Very hard work, you have to get some money. Because with that money, you can get sense, you can buy sense enjoyment. So he works hard, so hard, his labor, and he gets a bit of money. And what does he purchase with that? He purchases a noose. You know what a noose is? A noose is the rope they put around their neck when they hang someone. So he purchased a noose with that money. His hard-earned money. He had to work so hard. And what does he purchased a noose. Not only he purchased that noose, but he very happily puts it around his own neck. He's happily in putting that noose around his own neck because he's thinking this will bring you happiness. But it struck him, his preaching of Srinivasacharya, and he thought, right. Anyway, the marriage had to go on. Everyone was there waiting for the bride to come. So he went there and they did the whole marriage ceremony. Then on the way back again, he came back and he fell at the feet of Srinivasa Narottam, said, please initiate me, I want to become your disciple. So then he became the great Ramchandra Kaviraj. So this is the influence of Maya. So strong, so captivating, and so perfectly arranged that the living entity cannot even see what's going on. Because if he did see what's going on, he might try to make some changes and adjustments. But he didn't come here to be a lover of Krishna. He came here to be an enjoyer. So Krishna arranges everything, this whole energy, so he can. The first thing that happens when the living entity comes here, it gets covered with avidya. Avidya means ignorance or forgetfulness of Krishna. That's good. Krishna's out the picture. That's good. Once Krishna's out the picture, then you can start thinking, you know, I'm the controller and an enjoyer. So Krishna's so kind because the living entity desires to be the controller and the enjoyer. Then he covers you with avidya. He takes his remembrance away. From me come remembrance and forgetfulness. So he takes his remembrance away. So now the living entity is left to make his sojourn in this material world through the permutation of these three modes of material nature and all the intricacies. And he completely forgets and he completely identifies himself as a controller and enjoyer. And so he's happy. That's what he wanted. He gets a little taste now and again. Just like there is water in the desert, a drop of water in the desert, it's there, there's water in the desert, but what use is it? When you're in the middle of a desert, you need a lot of water. So it's like that, you get a little bit of taste, Krishna's given you a little taste, a drop in the desert, a drop of water in the desert. But still the living entity, because he's forgotten his eternal happiness, and yes, this is what I'm getting the happiness. I'm becoming the able to enjoy and control everything. So it's so intricate, this material world. It's so difficult. You read Bhagavad Gita. It's very intricate, isn't it? How the mind is working, how the senses are working, how the detachment should be there, and ignorance is there, and three modes of material nature are working. It's so intricate. But Krishna's designed it so cleverly that you just don't know what's going on. You can't see the woods for the trees. So this is another kindness of Krishna because it's what the living entity wanted. Prabhupada said that Krishna gives you three warnings when you come to the material world. Before you come, don't go there. Three times he gives you warnings. Somehow or another, you don't listen to him. You don't take his good advice. And you come into the material world. So Krishna's making all these different arrangements that you can actually imitate him. And it's like a spoiled child. He wants something. It's not good for him. He keeps crying, mommy, 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 I want it, I want it. Making a big crying So, okay, take it, go do it. You know, you'll get hurt from it, but what can I do? You know? So Krishna is like that. We're like little babies who've been crying. Want to be the judge? No. You'll get hurt. No, I want to go. You touch them. So, Prabhupada says that the place where the self is situated, or the mind is the place where the self is situated, and the mind is dictated by the intelligence. So the self is situated in the heart. So the mind is in the heart. And that's dictated to by the intelligence. And of course the intelligence has become lusty. So that's in dictating all the lusty things. That'd be good for you. The intelligence tells the mind, this will be good for you or this won't be good for you. Prabhupada said the mind's business is to hover over various items of sense gratification. What's that? Bhagavad Gita? The business of the mind is to wander over various subject matter looking for sense gratification, something like that. So this is the mind's activity, always searching, going over things again and again. Suddenly something like that becomes a little bit active and happy. Some sense gratification pops up. So he meditates on it, or he sees a sense object. And he says, I like it or I don't like it, it'll be good for me, it won't be good for me. But the intelligence is there to give a more of a concrete decision for the mind. And the intelligence, he knows, we did it before, and we got a good experience. So we did it before, we had a bad experience. So this is what the intelligence is doing. It'll tell the mind, no, you did it before, you had a bad experience. You did it before, you had a good experience, okay, do it. So then the mind goes ahead and does it. So, so then the living entity is just running around. Of the manovat, the chariot of the mind, seeking these different objects of sense gratification, but never satisfied fully, because he's only the real satisfaction is when he comes into contact with Krishna again. This is what the soul is searching for in this material world. This is why he's transmigrating through 8,400,000 different species of life again and 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 again. Looking for his eternal relationship with Krishna. But he doesn't get it in any species of life, so therefore he's forced to take another and another and another. But he doesn't give up the search, because he's Randamoya Prishad, we heard yesterday, the living entity is pleasure seeking. But that ultimate pleasure he's seeking is his eternal relationship with Krishna. But he never finds it in any of the material objects, in any of the different species of life. But still he is searching. So that causes him to stay here practically perpetually, universe after universe after universe after. Nityabada is called eternally conditioned. What the lifespan of one universe. So we should understand that we've been through millions and millions and billions of universes. Again and again and again. Doing the same thing. Ranjana, chasing after some sense gratification. But we never find it. Until we meet a devotee. And then we can make the connection with Krishna. So that's really going to satisfy us. Because that's real. This Paranjana is in love. By his activities, this is called love of the material world. Doing everything he's love of that. But there's another saying in English, love is blind. Here, Paranjana, he's blind. He doesn't see anything else but his beloved. Love is blind. That's all you see. Love is blind. But real love is awakened to everything. Because Krishna has a relationship with everything. So when you love Krishna, you see his relation with everything is Krishna. And that's an awakened love. It's not a blind love. You see everything. Everywhere you look, you see Krishna. And you love Krishna. Because everything is connected to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. So you see the source of it. Of course, it's the highest stage when love of Krishna is there. But described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, yeah, you see the gopis, they see the black tamala tree. They see Krishna. Reminds them of Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. Also the same color of Krishna, blackish. So they see, and they see Krishna. So Prabhupada said, it's not exactly they don't see the tree. They see the tree, but they see Krishna. It's like a superimposition on the material world, spiritual world. So it's not although they don't see any object, but they see the source of all the objects. And he is more prominent in their heart. The love is stronger, so he becomes more prominent than the objects that they see. So this is an awakened state. Then you can love everything and everyone because you see everything's relation with Krishna. But this love is a transcendental experience. It's a spiritual love, and it's independent from matter. Ranjan's love is dependent on his wife's activities, but real love is independent. It's not dependent on any kind of material object or anything like that. So it's through this love that one can actually experience what is the spiritual world. In fact, it's the only way you can understand what it is, the spiritual world. And it's explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that this love, it appears through the mental functions, and it replaces the mind. The love is self-manifested, although it appears to act through the functions of the mind. But actually has it appears to arise by the mind, but it's independent. It's descended from above. It's awarded to the living entity. Spiritual love. The connection comes as a grace, as a ray of bhakti, a ray of Krishna. That love is described as a portion of Shambhit and Naladini. That is bhakti. Bhakti is a portion of Haladini and a portion of Shambhit, or your cognizant function. And Haladini is the ecstatic potency, the blissful potency. So you've got to be cognizant. So when you're cognizant of Krishna, then you can understand the blissful relationship is there. So this spiritual love, real love, is actually descended by Krishna from Krishna's potencies. It's described that the living entity, because we are Satchitananda, we are eternal, we are conscious, and we have by nature blissful, Ananda, Satchitananda, the same thing, Sambit, Sandini, Sandini, Sambit, and Aladini potency. And as the living entity is advancing in spiritual life, he can become conscious of spirit, he can become self-realized, and so he becomes cognizant of the spiritual nature. And now he has to approach Krishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if the cognizant potency of the living entity cannot reach the spiritual world, then what else can? So it's only our cognizance, our awareness, of course we're awakened, spiritually awakened in our spiritual consciousness. With that awakened consciousness, you can approach the Lord. But still, because of our minute size, and the minute size of our consciousness and Aladini potency, it's not powerful enough to actually reach the spiritual world in Krishna, because of our limited size. But because a person is very serious in practicing his devotion, then he gets the blessings from above. Whoever is looking after him, his spiritual master or some other personality who's acquainted with the Aladini potency, all the way up to Srimati Radharani. Somehow or another, if they're satisfied with you, then they can tell Krishna, "Oh, it's such a nice devotee there, he wants to come back home and serve you somehow or another." But you get a recommendation from your guru or someone who's in charge. And Krishna says, "Oh, really? He wants to increase my pleasure. This is Krishna's. He becomes many for his pleasure. Oh, again, one fallen soul, he wants to come. I can increase my pleasure by having a relationship with him." So Krishna sends his Haladini and Sambit to meet the living entity's Sambit. Now, Haladini and Sambit is not powerful enough to reach him, but when Krishna is recommended, then Krishna sends his own Sambit and Haladini to meet the living entity. That is Sambandha. So that is the loving exchange we've started then on the spiritual platform. That is that the real love is awakened at that time. And then relationship with Krishna begins. So this is what the living entity is searching for. His eternal love for Krishna, his awakened state for Krishna. So it's something independent from the mind, the intelligence. But we are searching for it with the mind, material mind and intelligence. We're looking for that spiritual happiness. But what are we going to use? We've got material tools. Mind, intelligence. Krishna said, these are my material elements. So therefore, we admit our helplessness and our incapability. And when we realize our insignificance and complete dependence on Krishna and Krishna's devotees and their mercy, then we can actually sincerely beg shelter of the lotus feet of the holy name and the devotees. Then we can be recognized. So then it's a completely different realm. When you establish the relationship with the spiritual realm, then the material realm doesn't exist. Practically, at that time the thinking, feeling, willing and functions, it comes from the heart, because the living entity situated in the heart. Although it may appear to act through the functions of the mind, it's actually a direct experience. It's a direct spiritual experience. And factually, you don't need actually to listen to the material mind. Not to speak of hearing the mind, you don't even need the material mind. She says it's one of my inferior energies. You actually don't even need this material mind, which practically is our identification, because the mind is a taster of this material world. The mind is the enjoyer or the sufferer, because the mind is the king of the senses. The mind is receiving all the impressions from the different eyes, nose, tongue. So in our search for happiness with the different senses, it's the mind who's the king of it. He's receiving all those impressions of happiness. Therefore, the soul identifies with the mind. He gets inside the mind and identifies as the mind. So now I'm the enjoyer of suffering. But actually, in the end, he doesn't need the mind. It's one of Krishna's material objects. So this is an awakening stage when actually there is a direct connection with Krishna. So then that is what we call real love has been awakened. And factually, it's only when you've established a loving relationship with Krishna that you'll understand everything clearly. Until that time, you won't understand everything clearly. Because that is your constitutional position. We're the eternal servants of Krishna. We were created with an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. When you're situated in that, you'll be able to see everything clearly. Material, how the material is functioning, how the spiritual is functioning. Because you're situated constitutionally perfectly. Just like you have a magnet. And you tie it on a piece of string. So it's freely suspended. And that magnet immediately it'll swing there to the north. Right? When you know what's north, you know what's east, you know what's west, you know what's south, automatically. When you know what north is, automatically you know all the different directions. So similarly, when you've awakened your loving relationship, then you will understand everything. Because that you're situated in your constitutional position. Until that time, everything will be mysterious and puzzling. Whole material world, whole how to get to the spirit, it'll always appear material. But love, solution to all the problems. That's all Krishna wants. He wants us to love him. Everything falls into place when love is there. So this is actually the only way to understand Krishna and the spiritual world, and everything is working. By scholarship and studying, they're never going to come to this conclusion. They're never going to understand everything perfectly. Unless they come to the point of bhakti. They're always talking around and about, and forever they'll go on trying to discuss it, but they're never going to get it and never understand it. Antastu koti vatsarasham pragamya mayur tati manasho. You travel at the speed of mind for millions and millions and millions, still you cannot approach the effulgence of Krishna's throne. So this is what they're doing. They're writing. They're writing about Krishna. Even they're writing about bhakti scholars. It's quite popular now, actually. Bhakti is becoming very prominent now in America, especially many scholars are talking about bhakti. But they're never going to understand. But as long as they're analyzing it, until they get it, they're never going to understand properly. It always remains a mystery. This is Krishna. Krishna is he's right in the center of everything. You go a little bit that way, you're missing. A little bit that way, you're missing. But he's always in the center of everything. But a little bit off, you're missing. But when there is love, when there is love, then Hare Krishna Das Kaviraj, you think you're all Krishna, you think you're all powerful, you're all strong. You try to get away from my heart, then I will believe you're all powerful, you're all strong. If you can say, if you can get away from my heart, then I'll admit that you're all powerful and all strong. Otherwise. So here, Prabhupada is saying that the conclusion is that material intelligence is the cause of the bondage of the living entity. This is Prabhupada's conclusion. The misused intelligence. Because that's making your decision in life, your intelligence. That's the discriminating power. So, of course, the false ego is beyond the intelligence, and the soul is beyond the false ego. So the soul has to dictate to the intelligence, or use how to use proper spiritual intelligence. The soul, by association of devotees, by shastra, indicate he has to utilize his intelligence to pursue the spiritual path. Otherwise, the misguided intelligence will take him on the wrong path. So, although the soul is higher than the intelligence and the mind and the senses, but the first covering after vidya of the soul is the ahankara. And so whatever the living entity does, it's coming through the ahankara. Is it like you have rose-colored glasses, you have nice glasses, you tint them pinky, rose-colored. I'm looking at the world through rose-colored glasses and everything is rosy now. It was a song. So you see everything as rosy because you got rose-colored glasses there. So ahankara is like that. It covers you. And whatever you see, you've got to see through this rose-colored ahankara. That's what you're seeing. Everything is covered with ahankara. And the ahankara principle is, you're the enjoyer. You're the controller. So everything you see is coming through this impression. This rose-colored impression. I'm the controller and enjoyer. So therefore, obviously, the intelligence is you. The intelligence wants you. Is taking you to things so you can enjoy. So he dictates the mind, yeah, accept the enjoyment, yeah, accept or reject it, reject that punishment. So this is the whole thing. From this purple proverb saying that the conclusion is the intelligence is the cause of bondage for the living entities. The point is that one has to take to spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. So the spiritual intelligence Srila Prabhupada has, this is the conclusion of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita also. And you see in the 18th chapter, in the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, and in the last purport, in the last sentence, the Prabhupada finishes Gita. Generally the author reveals himself through the concluding words. So Prabhupada's revealed his intentions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, in that last sentence of Bhagavad Gita. And he talks about how the living entity is the Tatastha Shakti, is marginal potency. He's in between the spirit and matter. He's actually spiritual. But the potency is he's in between both. He can adopt spiritual, he can adopt material. He's a marginal potency. Just like the ocean shores. Sometimes the water is there and sometimes the sand is there. It's a marginal position. So, he has a choice. And Prabhupada says, by proper use suppose the living entity has a minute independence because it's the part and parcel of Krishna who has complete independence. So he says, then you can, with your intelligence, you use that minute independence to choose to serve Krishna, to choose to serve the spiritual nature. So he said, when this happens, the living entity makes that proper use of his intelligence, proper use of his independence. He said, then he becomes under the control of the Aladini potency. In English, the pleasure-giving potency. In the Bengali, it means Aladini. You read in the Bengali Gita. The Aladini potency. By proper use of his intelligence, his independence, then he can put himself under the control of Aladini potency. And Prabhupada finishes the Bhagavad Gita there. So that's where Prabhupada wants to take us, back to Godhead under the Aladini potency. Because everybody's serving there under this Aladini potency. Radharani is the chief personality there, being the greatest pleasure potency of Krishna. And everyone is serving this pleasure potency to unite Radha and Krishna for their ultimate pleasure. So we are part and parcel of that. We can situate ourselves in that situation of Aladini, of again bringing pleasure to Krishna by persisting in that part of uniting Radha and Krishna and separating Radha and Krishna. So this was Prabhupada's conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. As Prabhupada says, that independence, your choice of intelligence, basically, it's only you can choose the Aladini potency, come under the Aladini potency, the spiritual potency, or you can come under the Maya potency. Practically, that's your only your choice of independence. Of course, there are many activities if you're under the control of Maya. there's a variety of, you can perform a variety of activities in Maya. But the thing is that you're independent from Maya, you're strictly under the control of Maya. Even though you may do a hundred varieties of activities, it's all under the control of Maya. So you have a choice. You can put yourself under the control of Mahamaya, or you can put yourself under the control of the Yogamaya potency in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada said that is the natural constitutional position of the living entity. So he can go back home and situate himself in the Aladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency. That's the end of all bewilderment. Come awaken to our natural constitution. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Nikai Go Premanandi. Any comment?
About spiritual world, when we are in spiritual world, I mean, it seems that before we were in spiritual world, so spiritual world is much bigger than material world, and. We can experience that material world is very big and full of living entities, and it's difficult even to imagine what is going on in spiritual world. And my question is, does everyone have association with Krishna there? Enough association? Because it seems that if we have enough association with someone, we don't want anything else. And if we have enough association to Krishna, how can we have such a desire to
Yeah, you can have association with Krishna. You can have exactly what you desire. Some people want to live on the planet of the Lord, they want association, they want teachers of the Lord, they want to... But whatever you desire you can have when you're spiritually perfect. Such a sankalpa. If you want to stay with Krishna all the time, then maybe not all the time, because not everybody is all the time. Even Radharani can't be with Krishna all the time. But you can be one of Radharani's friends, always making arrangements to meet Krishna. You can be one of Krishna's boyfriends, to be with Krishna when he's doing his Gaudiya Lila with the cows. And so you can spend all that time with him, all morning with him. Gopis, afternoon and night, they can spend with Krishna, the mother, at evening time and morning time. So you can, exactly what you want, you will get. Such a sankalpa. Your desire will be filled when you're perfect spiritual.
Krishna is one, and there are so many living entities. How is it possible for everyone to have association with Krishna?
Answer that's contained in that story. Krishna's Kushtava Mani, he has a Kushtava jewel. And then it can illuminate. And its rays can spread everywhere throughout eternity. Just like the sun, the rays. Everyone can look up and see the sun. And what I'm seeing through a different ray from what you're seeing. Now, the sun is made of tiny molecules of sun rays, of particles. So when we see, everyone is seeing the sun, but they're seeing it through a different ray. Yeah? You're there and I'm here and they're over there. So we're seeing different, the sun through a different ray. So Krishna's something like that. He illuminated his Kushtava Mani and all the rays. Then everyone looks at Krishna, and what they see is their worshipful deity. Some will see Krishna, some will see Ramchandra, some will see Krishna as their boyfriend, some will see Krishna as their lover, some will see Krishna as their mother. He's one. And they're all looking at him, unlimited. But they're all seeing him as they love him. But Krishna, he's not difficult for him. You won't be derived of anything of Krishna's glance or association when you go there. But many times in the Krishna book it says all the cowherd boys were sitting around, and there was hundreds and millions of cowboys used to go out with Krishna every day. But Krishna was in the center and they were all looking at him, and everybody thought, well, Krishna's looking at me all the time, he's laughing at me and we're having these exchanges. But everyone is thinking like that. And they're all sitting around him. But they all think they're looking at Krishna and he's looking at them. Prabhupada ki.